Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
Mine, he says, oh, what was his name? Onesimus says, I believe his name was Epaphras. And he says, well, wait a minute now. I know that young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
He was one of my disciples while I was struggling and suffering in Ephesus.
Right.
When I thought no one was listening. When I thought nobody cared about the message. When I thought there was no fruit of my labor. When I thought I was just in a point of anguish and struggle and affliction and heartache and pain and all this. He said, no, well, tell me about the church. He said, well, we're doing good. I mean, God's blessing. Our folks are getting saved. We're growing out of the banks. And he goes on and he says, let's get a pen. Let's write a letter. I want to write one for you to carry back to Philemon. And while I'm at it, I'll go ahead and write one to the church in Colossae. Because I've never seen them. But now I rejoice. But now I can say that while I was struggling, while I was suffering, while I was going under, God had a greater thing going on. God was working when I thought nobody else was. When I felt abandoned. When I felt all alone. God was doing a big work.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen.
Ain't that a blessing?
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now. About 4 nights of that witch doctor chanting over and over and over again.
Yeah.
He went way back in the darkness after that first convert. He went way back into it. Chanting night after night.
How about that?
Over and over again. I came to God. My little place of prayer. I said, Lord, I'm through. I can't take no more weeks and months of this. Well, I can't take anymore. It's getting in my head. I'm going crazy. If this was insanity, I felt like God had me right here by His grace. On the brink of it.
About that.
I was losing my mind. Talk about anxiety, panic attacks, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I was going crazy. By the grace of God, I didn't wear a straight back this morning.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, I can't take any more of this. I pray. Pull my heart to God and say, Lord, please. I'm done, Lord. Like, please make him be quiet. Please, Lord. I can't sleep. I can't rest. It's all night long. It's just this demonic presence. Lord, please have mercy on me. And the only thing I heard back from heaven was a little still small voice that said, persevere. My grace is sufficient.
How about that?
Amen.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. That's not really what I was wanting to hear.
Yeah.
Amen.
I was wanting a lightning bolt to come out of heaven.
Yeah.
Pop that fellow on top of the head.
Yeah. I understand.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But there I was, and thinking, beginning to persevere and take God at His word seriously. Paul struggled greatly in Ephesus. Struggled greatly in that place. But to be in a prison and see all this come full spectrum, how he was doing a big work, how there was a church planted from a place where he thought there was nothing going to happen.
Right.
Can I remind you what a blessing, what an encouragement this morning that I walk in light of the Word of God.
Amen.
That when I know that I don't quite maybe understand what God's doing.
Amen.
I want to remind you, don't give up just yet.
Right.
Amen.
Preacher.
Amen.
This man had turned on us. Kind of, I'm just talking about this.
Go
this
ahead.
Guy had turned on us.
Take your time.
This guy had. Amen. This guy had. He had put poisonous snakes in my house, my little hut. There was poison in my food. Whether it was him or not, I don't know. There was just a lot of stuff going on. And I was past the breaking point. I was like, God, I'm done. I can't do no more. I need your help. It had been months since the clouds had rolled back. I was just going to prayer just out of duty. And I was like, Lord, please, I was repenting over everything I needed to repent over.
And still, just the clouds kind of closed. And it was there God began to teach me some things. Show me some things. Even as he did over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 80. Psalm 80, the Bible says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock." Isn't that amazing? Of course, we know he's talking to the Lord. It's a prayerful psalm. He says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel," calls him the shepherd. And he says, "Leadest thou, as thou hast led Joseph like a flock." Now, Joseph is one person. We know the story. Beloved of the father, hated his brethren, put in a pit, put in prison, finally into the place of authority in the palace. One person is compared to not one sheep, but a whole flock of sheep. Isn't that amazing? Now, I know when you look up here and see me, I'm just one person. That's all you see. But I know me. And on the inside of me, there's more than one thing going on.
How about that?
I've got my emotions. I've got my feelings. Sure. I've got my soul, my spirit, my physical. It's all in there. And what God is saying is, I'm going to get you there. I'm going to move you along, all of you, to one spot, the next spot. When you all get along and in agreement with what God's doing, that's the key to it, is it agreeing with God, agreeing with Him. Paul was so heartbroken over the church in Laodicea, in this area, especially Laodicea. He said, "That your hearts may be comforted. They was being persecuted and slaughtered as Nero takes power." And he's saying, hey, God's not left you. He's not forsaking you. I know you're getting your heads cut off. But hey, God's still on the throne. It's part of His plan. And then he tries to encourage them and help them see wonderful truth and saying, that the full knowledge of the understanding, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And so what he's saying is this, that there's some things that you cannot misinterpret. You cannot misunderstand. You must understand. And I don't know what your current situation is. I don't know what your current circumstance is. But I want you to understand that it is exactly where God wants you to be.
Amen.
And with that understanding,
amen,
with that glimpse from the glory of God, when Paul writes to that church in Corinth, he makes a comparison in third person. He tells about a story and about experience that he's been with God and been called up to the third heavens. What a glorious experience that would be.
Yeah.
Then he draws a line of comparison and begins to talk about a thorn and more suffering and more struggle. And he says, out of the two, I would rather glory in my infirmities,
right,
in my struggles, in my necessities. Now that's not some deep Christian theology. That's normal Christian living that Paul is preaching to these believers, baby believers. So when things are all out of order, we can't say, well, what's God doing? Well, what's going on? He wants us to trust that He's the God of the present. He's the resurrection and the life. And that what He's doing is perfect. And He's got you in a place to bring Him honor and glory.
Amen.
He's got you in a place to reflect and brightly shine the image of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And what a blessing that it is that we could agree with God and come to that place and say, Lord, although I may not fully understand it, this much I know, that You're in control. And God, You've got me in this place for a reason that I can't understand, that I can't get. Well, look what he says right here. For all things are for your sakes.
Right.
2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 15. I'll close right here with this. For all things are for your sakes. What does that mean? All things are all things.
Right.
Amen.
That's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
All things are for your sakes. Why? That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For this cause, We faint not. What cause? I know it's all things are for my sake. All things are for me, from God. That God might give grace, that in that situation I might give God thanks, and it would come back as glory to God.
Amen.
I want you to watch this now. Watch. He says, "For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now, can I show you how big it gets right here? How many of y'all have ever read the book of Colossians and gotten help? How many have ever read the book of Philemon and got some spiritual encouragement? Not only here in this place, but what about in the next county over? What about in the next state? What about the continental United States? What about the South American continent? What about over in Iraq, Afghanistan, Asia, over in China, the Philippines? Any believer anywhere on the globe that has ever read the book of Colossians or the book of Philemon, has ever gotten help from a spiritual help from God by reading those books, it is to the glory of God. And it is out of one man's God-ordained, God-led suffering.
That's right.
Suffering now is a platform from which Christ is boldly proclaimed. When you're suffering, all eyes are on you. When Paul was in that storm on Acts 27, he gets off the boat that's all busted up. Some come to shore on broken pieces of the vessel, some on board, some swim. They all gather around. The barbarians there come out and pile fire for him. The Apostle Paul is busy picking up sticks and putting them on the fire.
Right.
In this crowd are Roman centurion soldiers, muscled up guys, all other prisoners, and they're just around, afraid. I mean, they've almost just lost their life. The Apostle Paul, he's just seemingly unaffected by the storm. And so here's these barbarians over there going, "Now what's this guy got that I don't have?" And they begin to look at him and survey. And what Paul was saying there in the book of Colossians, he's saying it is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
It's Christ on the inside. Oftentimes God will put you in the very presence of barbarians on the platform of His suffering, that you will proclaim Jesus. You will shine forth Jesus.
Amen.
Sometimes the barbarians He has you in front of wear long white coats. Pocket on this side, pocket on this side, a pocket up here, and a funny thing around the neck that goes to your heart. We call it a stethoscope. And sometimes we'll question, "God, why do I have this sickness? Why I got cancer, Lord? What have I done wrong?" It's not anything wrong. It's that God has so chosen to give you a sickness, to be a partaker of His sufferings, that you might be a particular fist of the consolation when it comes. And that's in that. That when the doctor says you've got cancer, you're real bad off, there's been believers down to the ages say, "Why? God's going to take care of me."
Amen.
Smile and walk out of there smiling.
Amen.
Now this doctor has seen other men, other women, with the seed giving them the same message, "You've got cancer," and they've come to pieces, non-believers. "Oh no, I'm going to die, what am I going to do?" And then the change, the difference is Christ in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.
Why should I gain from His have paid my